Blog Talk Radio.
Perfect Wives Radio. I am your host, Sheree Zack, coming live to you from Beaufort, South Carolina, the home of Candace Glover. Woo! Just had to say that.
Go
ahead.
I said, I'm not ready for an introduction like that. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm thinking.
Yeah, joining me this morning is my beautiful co-host, Angela Craig. Angela is coming to us from the West Coast. She is the Northwest Women's Ministry Network Director, and she is, I've invited her to come back again and to share with us this morning. We are going to be talking about husbands who don't lead, and we're really excited about this morning. Welcome, Angela.
Well, thank you. I am incredibly excited to be with you, especially today. And ladies, you are going to be so glad that you joined us.
Yeah, we are talking about a subject that it comes up a lot. One of my friends, Kelly Bloom, she talks about your customer's ache. And this is definitely, for the imperfect wives, an ache for a lot of women. And the subject, husbands who don't lead. We get this question a lot. What do I do when my husband doesn't lead our home? You know, what do I do when my husband's not saved? God actually has answers for those questions, and we're going to delve into them today. Angela, before we get started, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great, and it's a beautiful day here in the Pacific Northwest. So for all of you listeners out there that are listening from the Seattle area, congratulations for getting up early. Just want to let you know, everybody who's out there with Sheree, it is 7 a.m. here. So
it is.
So that requires a lot of coffee, and but we're so happy. It's beautiful. We have another perfect sunny day, and happy to be with you this morning.
Amen.
And it's great that we decided to do our show this Friday. Should we tell them why?
Yeah. Sure.
Or maybe we should wait. Maybe we should just hold the suspense just a little bit longer and pray. What do you think?
Okay. Would you like to pray for us this morning?
I would love to pray.
All right.
Lord,
I just
thank you. I thank you for my friend Sheree and for the ministry that she has through the Imperfect Wives. I thank you for everything that you do for us, for the things that we can see, for the things that we cannot see in our future, Lord. And I know that today, Lord, there are women that are listening and that will listen, that have needs in their marriage, that have given up on their marriage, and maybe today is the day that they've decided to walk away. And Lord, I know that you have an encouraging message for them today, Lord. So anoint us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit move like the wind over the women that listen, and give them a fresh spirit to go forward in their marriages, a spirit of hope, a spirit of peace. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, a spirit of purpose on their lives, and that they will know that they're loved and they're cherished, and that you have compassion and mercy over their lives and their marriages, and that you have an answer for them, and that you can help us, and you will help us in all circumstances, Lord, that there are so many things that we cannot see that your hand is upon, Lord, that you are working. And, Lord, so help us today. Give us the answer. Speak to us individually to each situation. Even if Sheree and I don't have the right words, Lord, you do. So, Lord, we are imperfect wives in ourselves, but you are a perfect and holy God. So we give everything to you, Lord, and we ask you to be with us this hour and going forward into this day and into this next week with each of our friends that listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Angela. We always like to start with prayer here on Imperfect Wives Radio because it just really feel like that prayer helps us to focus in on what God wants to share with us. Because as you and I both know, as we talk, as we chat back and forth about the subject matter and what God's given us, the Holy Spirit is busy moving and speaking within each of the wives that are listening. So we really love to start with prayer for that reason, just so we can all connect our hearts together and connect with the Lord and open our hearts to the Holy Spirit to hear him. Because he's got some things he wants to share with you guys this morning, and we're excited to get started.
We are. Yep. So I think we should give them the big announcement.
All right. Go ahead.
No. Okay. So first of all, I have to back up a little bit. Last week when this topic came up, husbands that don't lead, it was a request from the chat room, actually. And so Sheree and I were talking about doing another show, and what would we talk about? And so I had asked her, I said, hey, there's a project that you and Rebecca have been working on. Is that going to be out on the market for Tuesday and or for next week? And Sheree said, you know, I don't think it's going to be ready yet. And so then we had so much material to cover and so many things we wanted to talk about, we decided to make a special Friday. And so last night, Sheree called me up and she said, guess what? I have a special resource that maybe we can use for this show. And so she had me go to a link on Facebook. And she literally, I don't know how she wasn't jumping out of her skin. Because I was thinking, so then when I saw it, I thought, you stinker. I can't believe you weren't actually, like literally, I would have been screaming at the top of my lungs. It was so exciting. And there it was when I pulled it up on my screen, Yours and Rebecca, your new book is out, and so I'm just thrilled because this is perfect introduction to our topic today. So
yeah.
Tell them the name.
Our book is called The 16-Day Love Challenge, and it is what we're doing is we're talking about matching our hearts and actions, our words and actions, with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And it is a mouthful because a lot of times we struggle in that area. And for those of you that may not know right off the top of your head which scripture I'm talking about, it's the patience scripture, the characteristics of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, love is not rude. And so what Rebecca and I did was we broke down each one of those, and we ended up with 16 love attributes. And we broke each one of them down and shared how to overcome in each of these areas. We shared personal stories. We shared our testimonies, different things that we walked through with our own walk with God and with our husbands and friends, family members, and put it into this study. And so if you get the hardcover or the softcover, there's actually an area after each chapter for you to take notes, so you can capture your thoughts and what the Lord is saying to you. Rebecca and I both love to journal, so it was important to us that a journal was included with the book. But definitely hope that you'll check it out. You can find it on Amazon. All you have to do is type in 16-Day Love Challenge, and you'll see it. And we're
pretty excited. Yay. If you go to the Imperfect Wives Facebook page, or if you go to my Facebook page also, I just purchased a couple of copies, and so you'll see when you purchase it, you can click on Facebook, and it will say, I just purchased this book, so then you can pass it on to other people. So I highly recommend you do that because everybody, it's very cost-effective and something that literally, this is one of those books you will have on your shelf for a lifetime because you'll want to refer back to it. So definitely, ladies, get a hold of it, and We are going to read some scripture from it, and I'm going to ask Sheree at the end to share one of the stories, but we don't want to give it all away because it's something you're going to want to share. Spend some time with your own, with God and with your own heart, just really drilling into, and then maybe even you could do it with maybe one other person. But like I said, I don't want to give it all away because it's pretty incredible. And you know, the cover is beautiful and inviting. So great job, my friend. I'm just thrilled for
you. Thank you.
And Rebecca, you're awesome.
Rebecca, amen. Rebecca is incredible. We're going to do a show on the book. And when we do, Rebecca will be here with us because we can't do that without her.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
But we weren't expecting it to. We weren't sure when the published date was, the actual published date. So we didn't have time to pull her in. She's got a very busy schedule, and she's a pastor's wife, a chaplain's wife, and they are leading many there in San Diego. And so also she homeschools her children, and she just has such a full life. And you're going to see that as you read her portion of the book. So our names, we put our name at the end of each chapter so you know who you're actually walking through that chapter with. And I think there were two chapters we actually wrote together, which was the first and the last. But anyway, we are excited about it. We pray that you are blessed by this resource and that you'll share it, you know, with your friends. We set it up on Amazon so you can actually lend it to a friend if you want to. Maybe someone really needs it right now and you've purchased it. I'm going to cry. You can actually lend it to someone and they won't have to buy it. And they can read it because our heart is really to get this in your hands. It's not to make, you know, money from it. We just truly want to get this in people's hands. So we hope that you'll use that little, that tool that Amazon, you know, gives. So anyway, okay, so husbands who don't lead.
That's awesome. It's awesome. Well, I just have to say one more thing about the book. When I was reading the chapters, you know how you said that you signed your name at the end? And so for women who have read the radio show, it is so fun because you'll be reading and you will hear Sheree's cute little accent. And then while you're reading, I could totally hear your voice as I was reading it. And then Rebecca's, I could hear her West Coast accent, you know, as I'm reading her part. And it's just really fun because it's like these are your friends that you're reading their stories. And it's just very heartfelt for me. So I just encourage you, ladies, you will love it. But as far as our topic, let's get to it. You're right. And this, you'll know right away why I thought this would be great, a great resource for this topic. Because 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, when many of us had this at our wedding, and so I wanted Sheree to read these verses to us and so we can contemplate what did we commit to when we got married, and then we can talk about it after she reads.
Yeah. All right. So if you have your Bible, and you know that is something you hear every week on Imperfect Wives Radio, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And this is, which version is this, Angela?
I think this is NIV.
It looks like NIV. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like having Rebecca here because NIV is her favorite. Her favorite.
But you can read out of the King James version if you want.
That's okay.
Well, because I was thinking about how we are kind of like Sunny and Cher or Captain and Neil. I like The Message, and you like King James.
Yeah, I do. I love King James. But, you know, I'm actually, God is starting to open my heart to The Message as well. Okay, so I think that gave everyone time. Those of you who are driving, because we have quite a few who listen as you're driving, don't worry about obviously turning there. But here we go, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are no prophecies, they will cease. Where there are no tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I guess I didn't need to read that last part, but love never fails. How do we define leading? And when we look at 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, leading is leading through patience. How do you define leading? Leading is kindness, right? Angela, leading does not envy. Leading does not envy. What a powerful statement or thought, truth, for those of us who are leading women. We do not envy others. Leading does not boast. I mean, you can apply these scriptures to every single area of your life, not just your marriage. You can apply it to your walk with the Lord. You can apply it to your love language with your children, you know, with your friends. It's just incredible when you really sit down and read the scripture slowly so that you can take it in. So what we did with our notes is we started with how do you define leading. Angela, do you want to take this one?
I think that those words in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 are so easy to read and so hard to act upon. And especially in marriage, we start out in marriage with huge hopes. And and so often, I mean, there is no one that I talk to that's divorced that said, I planned on being divorced. Have you ever heard that? Right.
Yeah,
I mean, none of us anticipate on our marriage, the day we get married, that's the end result. And so these words are, again, we love to hear them, and they're beautiful, and we know that they're truth, and we know that when we apply the truth to our lives, that it will work. But it is so hard to act upon because we have feelings, and we need to be loved, and so if there's things that are lacking in our marriage, it's hard to do this, isn't it? So we started out by, like Cherie said, let's talk about if our husbands are not leading, how are we defining leading? And Cherie said, well, let's define it by scripture. Smart place to start. So Ephesians 5:23 says, do you want to read that one?
Sure. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So we are looking at three key elements of leading, Angela. Let's talk about the first one for us.
And really, when I think of a leader, I think of a person of character, because we're emulating Christ. Christ is the head of the church. And again, like Cherie referenced, us as leaders in our home, or us as leaders as women in ministry, or us as leaders in our community or in a business. But as we refer to our husbands, this God is saying our husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And so God is saying that our husband should have Christ-like character. And I know there's some of you are going, oh. And we're going to talk about that. So don't worry about that right now. But these are just parameters of where we want to believe for him to be. And the power of thought is important in this, because people will be who you say they are and who you believe them to be. So I think that's an important statement, because who does God believe your husband to be right now? And so I want you to capture that in your mind. And Cherie is so good at reminding me of that. And so I really thank you for that, my friend. But character, we want a man of integrity. Who, write down some character traits. What does that man look like in your eyes? And so you need to start thinking about who that man is, because maybe he's close and maybe he's an arm's length away, but that's who God says he should be. What's number two, Cherie?
Number two is caring in your relationship. Character, you know, character and caring is so important in our walk. And we want you to understand that, you know, we're saying these things, and I can hear some of you saying in your thoughts, yeah, but my husband isn't doing any of this. It's easy to see the negative without seeing the positive. And God wants us to look on the positive instead of the negative. So as we're talking about this, we really want to challenge you to think about your husband a completely different way if you're the wife that is struggling. Because not every wife is struggling with where her husband is. Some of you have come so far in your marriages, and your husband, you have seen just miraculous changes, and God is, you know, creating within them a reflection of Jesus. We know that you exist, but there's a lot of you that are still where I used to be, and you're struggling because you don't see these characteristics in your husband. So what we want you to do is we want to challenge you to start showing those characteristics, revealing those within yourself. Because as we know, at the imperfect wives, God's always going to ask us to change first. If you're here listening to the show, if you're on the fan page, if you're reading our blog, if you're in our community, the Imperfect Wives Club on Facebook, you know that the change is going to start with you first for the reason, because you're there. If you if God didn't want to start in you first, He wouldn't even be connected to the Imperfect Wives. I honestly believe that, because that's how God started in me. Was He told me, I want you to change first. I need you to change first. And that's one of the foundations of this ministry. So caring in your relationship, choosing to care. Caring is such a great characteristic, because you choose to care despite your circumstances. Angela, you want to talk about number three?
I do, but I want to make a comment about humbling ourselves to the Lord's favor. I think that what you say is so important of being the first person to change, and how hard is that, ladies, to do? But if you look at it in the perspective of putting yourself in the place of receiving God's blessing and favor, this is a total mind shift, because it's not intuitive to what the world tells us to do. Mm-hmm. And so that is what Sheree is encouraging through the Imperfect Wives ministry. And I have experienced the exact same thing, is that when I decide that I'm going to change the way that I act or respond, it changes the way my husband responds to me.
Yes.
And so I'm the one that acts first. It really is. And so we're going to dive more into that. But I just want to be in agreement with what she's saying, is that I've experienced the same thing and felt like I've seen changes. So I want to encourage you too. It's hard, but it works.
Yeah. You don't have to fear change. I feared it, because, Angela, I thought that if I allow God to change me, I'm letting go of control. Yeah, for me. Things that I went through growing up caused me to feel like I had to control my environment and my surroundings. So if I allowed God to change me, I knew instantly for me that I had to start letting go of control. And that was so scary for me, because, in all honesty, God and I battled in this area, and I kept telling Him, no, I can't let go of this. Yes, I'll allow you to change me, but I can't let go of this area or this area or this area. And God was saying, Sheree, I can't change you if you won't let go. And I don't know if that's resonating with any of our listeners. Maybe you've walked the same place I have, and you're saying, yes, Angela and Sheree, yes, this is exactly where I'm at, and I just cannot let go. We want to encourage you, let go and let God take hold of you. I know it feels like you're standing on the edge of a cliff, and as soon as you let go, you're just going to fall. But I promise you, the Lord is going to catch you, because He caught me. And He caught Angela, and He caught Rebecca, and He's caught every woman that is a part of the Imperfect Wives that has told God, I'm going to do this. He will catch you. You don't have to worry about falling, and you can let go of fear. And I know that most of us got to be hitting somebody, because my heart's going 90 to nothing right now. But I truly understand. Please hear my heart. I truly understand what you're saying and what you're thinking about not wanting to let go.
All right. Yeah, I do too. So three is competency in your endeavors. So a leader, a man, our husbands should be competent in what they seek to do. And here's a quote that I wrote down that kind of encompasses two and three. Robert Townsend says, and I'll repeat it for those that are taking notes, a leader is a person with a magnet in his heart and a compass in his head. Again, a leader is a person with a magnet in his heart and a compass in his head. I love that. I mean, what does it mean to have a magnet in your heart and a compass in your head. A person that is competent in their endeavors is someone not only who has character and integrity, but someone also who has vision, who is, like my son was studying in Proverbs, and he said, you know, you need to be like the ant and not the sloth. He's like, how many times have I read that? And I'm like, well, maybe read it again. He's a teenager, so so it's kind of an important passage. But there are so many things about having a compass in your head, knowing that your direction comes from God, asking for the Holy Spirit to guide you, and knowing when to stop and listen. Those are signs of a leader. That a leader looks backwards and forwards, always looking at history and then looking forward into the future of where is God taking us, but not discounting what's already happened. So those are my ideas about competency in your endeavors.
And I love the quote from Robert Townsend: a leader is a person with a magnet in his head and a compass in his heart. And I think about how the Holy Spirit draws us like a magnet to the Lord, and he's always counseling us and teaching us. And then the compass in our heart, sometimes our heart is to go the opposite direction of God, especially where our marriage is concerned and we're dealing with trials within our marriage, our husbands, and so many things come against us. So our heart, I know mine used to run. It took off. And and God asked me, you know, at that moment, Wendell asked me for the divorce years ago. There was that moment that I'll never forget my whole life. He said, the Lord took my heart and he said, Sheree, are you going to run or are you going to stay and fight? He knows our heart. He knows what movements we make. He knows what we're going to do. He knows that we're going to bulk for those of us that bulk, for those of us that run. He knows that. So he's always going to speak to you in your language because he knows you like the back of his hand. I love the scripture in Isaiah, Angela, that says, you have engraved me in the palms of your hand. My walls are ever before you. He truly knows everything that you're walking through. So he's going to speak to you right where you are, and he's going to speak to you with the language that you recognize that you do. So not everyone knew that I was a runner, but God knew because he knew my heart. So that's why this the Robert Townsend quote really, you know, it really sticks out to me. Okay, so the big question, ladies, and the reason that most of you are here is why do husbands not leave? Angela, do you want to take us into this?
Oh, boy. So we came up with a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, ladies, if you were making a list, you have a lot of answers too for this. So our first one was they don't know how to lead. In our society today, we have a lot of broken relationships, broken marriages. Only 20%, I was just writing a paper for my master's class yesterday and doing some research on church attendance. Only 20% of Americans are attending church on a regular basis. So no godly example of other men living out healthy relationships in their lives. So many men come from single-parent homes. My husband had a mom who did her very incredible best to raise him, but there was no godly man in his home to teach him these competencies that we talk about. And so I praise God for the man that he is, and I know that it's because of the Holy Spirit who has pursued him and changed him. And so our past and present really defines who we are. And so I know that I could apply this to my life as well, is who I am has been because of mentors that have come into my life and have given me great examples of who I could be and encouraged me and said, you could be this. This is what I see in you. And so your man kind of look at his history and look at where he's at now. He may not have someone encouraging him in a faithful walk with God. And so that was one big reason. What's the second one?
One of the wives in the chat room, we've got a bustling chat room, and they are like all over the place. I mean, not all over the place. I mean, they're just like everyone is hitting. But one of them said that we beat them up because they're not who we think they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is so true. We don't have to beat them up in the physical, just in our thoughts. I used to beat Bill up all the time in my thoughts. Angry with him because he wasn't becoming the man I desired him to be, totally missing, you know, what God was doing because my focus was on who I thought he should be instead of recognizing the characteristics, you know, that we started with in the beginning. I think that's so good because I'm sure that many of us are relating to that one thought. Okay, so why do men not lead? You started with they don't know how to lead. Maybe there's no one to lead. your submission and respect is gone. There's a book that you and I both love, and I've got it right here on my desk in my office. It was one of the books that we had to read in my counseling classes that I took at Liberty University, and it's called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerus Egret. And we want to encourage you, if you don't already have this book, to get a copy of it. Get it today. Mm-hmm. It's on Kindle. You can get it at Amazon. I'm sure that there's copies that are cheap, you know, because people, especially students, they'll turn their copies in or they'll sell them on Amazon. So you can get them for just a few dollars. But this is a powerful, powerful book, Love and Respect. Our husbands, a lot of times, they don't lead because they're not being respected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? You can get it on Abe Books, A-B-E Books, for about $4. I have it.
Oh, awesome.
I have it on my desk as well, and I have it in the CD version, which is great. So you have lots of options.
That's great, yeah.
And they do have a wonderful website as well you could reference. It's a great resource, and they have a blog, and they have a lot of conferences they're doing, so we highly recommend it.
Yes, highly, highly, highly. Connect to this book. If you're not able to do anything else, connect to the book, Love and Respect, by Dr. Emerus Egret. It's a book from the Focus on the Family series, and it is incredible. So if we are not showing our husbands love and respect, Angela, they're not going to lead.
And one of the quotes from their website says, "What is love and respect?" And it says, "We believe love best motivates a woman and respect most powerfully motivates a man. Research reveals that during marital conflict, a husband most often reacts when feeling disrespected, and a wife reacts when feeling unloved. We asked 7,000 people this question. When you are in a conflict with your spouse or significant other, do you feel unloved or disrespected? 83% of men said disrespected. 72% of women said unloved." And this, if you do read their book or go to their website, is actually a biblical principle, because in Ephesians, it talks about, and other places in Scripture, it talks about the wife respecting the husband and the husband loving the wife like God loved the church. So there's a difference in how we are to relate to each other because of how God created us. And I think it's when you understand it, it really makes a difference in our marriages.
Those are such staggering statistics. You know, we have 7,000 people. 83% of men said disrespected. 83% of the 7,000 men. Can you imagine what that number is if it was everyone? Even if they just did this with Christendom and they, you know, they talked to Christian husbands. That's a scary number, ladies. I don't know if that's hitting you, but it definitely hit me when I read it, and I thought, I don't want my husband to be in that 83% of feeling disrespected. And I have been in the 72% of women who have said they felt unloved. Anytime that Bill, I feel disrespected by Bill, I don't feel disrespected. I feel unloved. I feel rejected. Those are the feelings. Those are the emotions, that come to my heart. And I have to, you know, I really have to work on those. Okay, so the next one we're looking at is unmet expectations. I think this is a big one for everyone. We get married. We plan this incredible wedding. Angela, we thought about our wedding all of our life. When we're little girls, we think about the day we're going to be married and we're going to be led to the altar by our daddy, to our Prince Charming. And he's going to take us away and we're going to have a happily ever after marriage. But there's an issue with that thought. What's that issue, Angela?
Our expectations don't necessarily meet the person that, the same expectations of the person that stands next to us.
Exactly. And then we get angry because they don't. And the problem is the husband has no idea what our expectations are. But yet we have built this fortress around us. And this fortress is a wall and it's protecting us because you are not meeting my expectations. What happens in that kind of climate?
Well, again, I think that when we as women start to feel unloved, we start to disrespect. It's a very negative cycle. Yeah. And my husband gave me the hunting analogy once, is that he thinks in marriage, you know, how in date, you think about your dating life, how each of you pursued each other equally. And maybe it's different how we pursue each other. Like maybe the man brought you flowers or he asked you on a date or he planned things for you to do, and each relationship is different, but the woman would make sure she was the prettiest she could be, or, you know, had perfume on, or made the nicest meal, or each of us has our own way that we pursued each other. But my husband described it as the hunting, is that once you have your kill, the game is over. So a lot of times he says in marriage you see this, is that the man wants to, it's like a prize. You have your prize, you put it on the wall. And with women, you have your prize, you get invested in children. And so you have to be very careful. So then your prize, you know, you have to be very careful to keep that dating up. Is that you keep pursuing each other as if it was brand new. And that takes as much effort as it did in the beginning as it does, you know, 20 or 30 years later. So,
I was just going to say, I think that one of the things I wrote down as we're talking is unmet expectations. When we, you know, we want to build that fortress around ourselves because now we feel like we need to protect our hearts and protect ourselves from our husbands. And what it does is it opens the door to thoughts that, you know, that are negative. That opens the door to us thinking other things like, okay, now I need to get a divorce. This marriage isn't working. I need to walk away. For me, I need to run. You know, when we build up that fortress because of those unmet expectations, we really do open the door to the enemy. And we give him an in to come in and begin to speak to us negatively about our husbands. And I promise you, he's not telling you the good things about your husband. He's not reminding you of the things that God has placed in your husband. He's telling you the negative because his heart, his desire is to destroy the marriage. That's all he cares about. He just wants to destroy the marriage. And so we really do have to guard our hearts and think on the things that God has given us, including 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind. We're going to get to that more here in a few minutes. Okay, so the next one is, another reason husbands are not leaving is, and we don't have all of the reasons, just so you know, these are just some of the things that God laid on our hearts. We know that you're going to think of things that we haven't, and we'd love for you to share them with us, and you can do that by emailing us at radio@theimperfectwives.org, or you can go to our fan page and post it there if you'd like to chat about it there. But the next thing we have is, they are not going in the direction that anyone wants to follow. We should respond to our husbands. Why or how should we respond to our husbands that are not leading? How many of you can raise your hands right now and say, Angela and Sheree, that is so my life. My husband is not going in the direction that I want to follow.
I think many, many people, a great percentage of people are raising their hand right now. And even if it's not an immoral direction, maybe your husband doesn't want to go to church with you on Sunday. Maybe he's more invested in his hobbies than he is in you. I mean, it could be many things that you feel like the direction is not the way that you would like it to go. And so how do we respond when our husbands do not lead? And maybe some of it is changing our expectation, but there is, what's the secret?
We want you to take a minute and grab your pens and your journals if you don't already have them, your notebook. Maybe you're on your computer listening, and so pull up Word document or however it is that you like to take notes and jot these down, because we really want you to take time after the show to meditate on these areas. And again, this is not like the end-all and be-all of the secret. These are the things that God has laid on our hearts. So as you're writing down things, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, make sure to write those down as well, because those are going to be personal to you, and we don't want you to miss that, because this show is not about Angela and Sheree. Okay?
No, not at all.
Okay, it's about hearing God's voice. But Angela,
absolutely.
The secret. There is a secret in the first one. It's going to hit a lot of us, I think.
Okay, so the first one, which both of us identified with, is to stop talking and telling. We love to talk. Can you tell? We love to talk to each other. We have a lot of answers.
We have a lot of answers. I love that.
So what we believe is using the rule of coaching. 90% of what you do is listening to them answer their own questions. 10% is giving the answer. This is a great rule of coaching. And the reason why is because our husbands, they already know that they are not leading, they are not loving, and they are not providing, or whatever else it is that they are not doing for you. So reminding them, and I'm sure that I have experienced this in my marriage, and I'm sure you have too, reminding them only makes them feel more distant, angry, worthless, and like, I'm never going to ever be able to please her. And you know what that does, ladies? That just makes them give up and pursue other things or other people and that make them happy. And so we don't want them to do that. We want them to pursue us. So how do we do that? How we do it is by encouraging them to be the person that God has a vision of them being. And so number one is seeing them that way. Number two is by our actions and our talk, by encouraging them with our words and our actions. So what else do you have to add to that, Sheree? I know you have some really valuable tools.
So number one, just a review for those of you that are taking notes, is stop talking and telling our husbands what we want them to know. Number two, accept them as God has accepted them. And number three, respect them unconditionally. Oh, okay, I know you're screaming at us right now. You're saying, no, I'm not going to respect them unconditionally. I have a right to feel the way I do when they say the things that they say, when they disrespect us. We get it. We know. We've been there. And sometimes we fall in that again because we're not in heaven. You know, we are still imperfect. We're still here. Daniel, or Miss Number Two in the chat room. Number two, accept them as God has accepted them. Number three, respect them unconditionally. This takes us back to let us patient, let us kind. We have to think on these things. We've got to change our thinking. Angela, you said that earlier. There's got to be a shift in our thinking, so they don't deserve in the natural respect, we're going to give it to them anyway. And what we're going to do is, by respecting them unconditionally, ladies, get this, you're creating a safe place for your husband. No woman on this earth can give him a safe place like you can. If you will respect him unconditionally, you are creating an environment in your home and in your relationship, that three-strand cord, the one flesh between you and your husband. God created you when you come into marriage as one flesh. You are no longer two separate people. You are now one flesh. And as you respect him unconditionally, you're giving him room to make mistakes. Catch this. You're giving him room to make mistakes. You're giving him the availability to learn, because where are you today? You are where you are because God has allowed you to make mistakes. He's allowed you to fall, but he's also been there to pick you back up. And yet we expect our husbands to have it all right now. We expect them to be perfect, and they're not. They honestly need that safe place to land. And if we respect them unconditionally, can you tell this is something I really had to fight in? If we'll respect them unconditionally, we are creating a safe place for our husbands to land. One of the most important things I've learned in my marriage with God is that I have to allow Bill to make mistakes, because as I do, so I don't always agree with what he's doing. If I allow him to make mistakes, just like God allows me to make mistakes, my husband is going to grow, and he has grown leaps and bounds as I've allowed him to do this. Please know my heart. I'm not perfect, and I have made mistakes myself. And there are times that I stepped right in the midst of everything, and I completely stopped God in his tracks, and I took over because I was angry, and I felt like I had a right to be angry. But God is asking me, Sheree, will you lay down your rights in your marriage? Will you lay them down? And will you allow me to work in your husband? This is so important to the health of our marriages. Okay, let me get off that.
Angela. That's very, very good. I liked you on that soapbox. You can just stay right up there. That was good. Okay, write down this verse, ladies. The wife must respect her husband comes from Ephesians 5:33. So you'll need that
for sure. Memorize it.
That's a short one. I can memorize that one. So the other part is that I think is a key is that even if you stop talking and telling, you can still motivate your husband to change by your unconditional acceptance and respect. So how do we motivate without nagging? This is a really interesting conversation to have. I have an example for you. This last weekend, we're at the end of baseball season, I guess, but we have tournaments. And so we had 5 games over the weekend, this past weekend. And our coach is dating this very sweet young woman. They're both in their 20s. And so she has been coming to every baseball game he has. Not only is he a coach for the high school, he has a job in a lawyer's office, and then he also coaches 2 outside teams. And so she was sitting on the sidelines. So, you know, we're at the baseball field from 7 a.m. until I think we left about 9:30 at night. So they're not getting a lot of quality time together. And aww. They're dating, so she thinks it's fun that she's watching him and she enjoys baseball. So a couple of the wives and husbands were commenting, they were laughing about how our coach, he has this kind of flair when he does the signs. So he'll be at third base, and if you watch baseball, coaches will do signs. Well, they kind of look like they're dancing, but it's basically to signal the runner or the batter to either, you know, steal the base or to hit a bunt or to swing at the pitch. So the people on the sidelines were saying to Stephanie, the girlfriend, we should teach him some signs to invite you to dinner because you guys need to spend some time together. And I was thinking, you know, motivation versus nagging. Now, nagging would be, we never get to spend time together. You're always doing baseball. Now, motivation would be her learning some signs and if he, you know, and him saying, what's that? Oh, that's my invitation to take you out to dinner. So there's a difference between motivation and nagging. It's kind of like for years I wanted help in the kitchen doing dishes, and it would come out in a very naggy form. Like, could someone help me? Can I get some help here? Like, I would wait until I was frustrated, and then it would just come out so negatively. Like, kind of short. And nobody wants to help me when I'm short with them.
Right.
And so instead, turn it around in humor or just ask up front, mom's going to need some help in, 10 minutes with setting the table, instead of waiting until our frustration level has hit the roof. So those are my ideas. The difference between nagging and motivation is huge and very helpful in our marriages. And
right.
when we're talking about husbands needing motivation, we're submitting to our husbands so he will know Christ. This is such a beautiful thing. When we submit to our husbands, the Bible actually says that they will see Christ and know him. And so when we don't, what's going to happen? He runs the other direction is what we've been talking about. So
yeah.
Do you want to read, Sheree, the 1 Peter 3:1? I have it in a couple different versions here, but if you want to read it in King James, you can. Although I do have to read it in the message because
like
I do.
Is this one in our notes is from the message, so I'd like to read it. If we
can. Okay, because there is an important part there at the end.
Yeah. Okay, so those of you that have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter 3:1-6. The same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. The holy women of old were beautiful before God that way and were good, loyal wives to their husbands. Cultivate inner beauty. You know, we won them with our looks, in all honesty. Because I asked Bill, what was it that you liked about me from the start? And because of the scripture, it prompted me to ask him, and he said, well, I thought you were really hot. Okay, that had nothing to do with my inner beauty.
mm-hmm. No.
But he's... So think about it. We won them with our, God made us pleasing, as Song of Solomon says. He made us pleasing to their eyes. So when they looked upon us, we got their attention. And actually, it was the Lord that drew them to us. He created us in a way, each one of us individually. I have green eyes. Angela does not have green eyes. My green eyes attracted Bill because he loves my green eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense? So
mm-hmm.
God attracted, he created us, honestly, the way that our lips are shaped, the way that our eyes are molded, our chin, the way our cheeks are, the way that our body is designed. He created us specifically to attract our husband. And so when your husband says you're hot, that's a good thing. But it doesn't stop there. We now that we have them, once we come into marriage, it changes because the beauty, outside beauty isn't everlasting. Because
right.
if the inside beauty is not good, then the outside beauty just washes away. And that's when we begin to lose them because we are not a reflection of our inward Savior. So that's why we have to work on this. That's why the scripture is so important. It's not about the way our hair looks or what makeup we're wearing or how our clothes are styled. I mean, they already know that we're beautiful. Now they're, honestly, husbands are looking at the inside of us. They want to see who we are inside. And God's telling us this or he wouldn't have put it in his word. So these mm-hmm. scriptures, these verses are very important. Go ahead, Angela. Mm-hmm. I know you have something you want to say.
I just...
It's 10:53.
We have something really special to close with. But I just love... this, husbands will be captivated by your life of holy beauty.
Yeah.
And ladies, be encouraged because you are cultivating an inner beauty of gentle, gracious kindness, and God delights in you. So let's just keep going and working at it. Don't beat yourself up for anything
no.
of the past. Today is a new day. So it is for Sheree and I, and we're just happy that you're with us. So... we have something, let's see here. Do we have time for that one more verse? Probably not.
I think so. If we do it quickly. Go ahead.
Okay. So, we want to encourage you because we know that, honestly, it's hard to respect and accept a man who does not lead. And this is probably, one of our hot subjects that comes up. But living the Word of God is counterintuitive. And I think that's something, if you're taking notes, just it's something we have to remind ourselves of, is that our spirit is going to push against it, and Satan is going to try to get you to not believe it. But in Romans 6, 19-23, it reminds us to live in freedom. And it says, I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time, the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And I think that was really, when I picked this verse out and shared it with Cherie, that was really my favorite part, because how often do I get frustrated and say, I'm done with, you know, trying. I'm tired of being the one that tries. I'm tired of being the one that changes. And God is saying, don't do that, because we are cutting ourselves from a life of freedom. And so God, and it goes on and says, and how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness. So this is from the Message version. So that's, if you want to read those particular words, that's where you want to look that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6 really fast. In the middle of that first verse, it says, there are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words without God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. Indifferent. This is the husband who is not walking with God. This is the husband that's not saved. Do you catch that? God is telling you that he doesn't want you to give up. You're saved. For the wife who's listening that is saved and your husband is not, and you're struggling in this area, God is giving you permission to love your husband anyway. He is telling you to build on your relationship with him so that he can build your relationship with your husband. You have permission. Whoever and whatever is telling you that you have the wrong husband and that you need to leave him and find a godly man, you need to stop listening to that. You need to lay that down, rebuke it in Jesus' name, and recognize the man that you are married to is the man that God wants you with. Please take hold of that, because I know you're struggling. Some of you are struggling because that was a part of my struggle as well. But that's not what God wants. He's giving us permission to love our husbands respectfully, graciously. With 1 Corinthians 13, we have permission to do that. So make sure that you do that. And I didn't want to miss that, because we understand this is the heartbeat of this show today, for the husband that is not saved, the husband who is indifferent to the words of God. He's still your husband. You have permission to love him from head to toe. Please do. We want to encourage you to do that. Okay, Angela, we have 2 minutes left.
Okay. So, oh gosh. So you, ladies, I would encourage you to read that 1 Peter 3:1 in different versions, because it is beautiful and it's profound and it's the truth. So one thing I wanted to close, we talked about Rebecca and Cherie's book at the beginning and the 16-day love challenge, and we encourage you to get that. But Cherie shared a story with in the book, in the introduction. And I wanted her to quickly share that, and then we'll close with you being able to do this exercise, which I love. So go ahead.
All right. So I share in the book, God actually started this, my part of the book in my heart years ago. Bill and I had just come to Bill and I just got married, and I had gone to a home interior party. And while I was at the party, I found this print, and it was 1 Corinthians 13. So I looked at the print because I thought, what a beautiful message to remember, you know, that love is patient and love is kind. And so I was trying to do this fast. We went to, all of us got together later when the items came in, and as I was opening up my box, this little piece of paper fell out, and it said, when I saw the little piece of paper, Angela, I thought it was like made in China, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know how you get those little pieces. And so I picked it up out of curiosity, and it said, Bill is patient, Bill is kind, Bill does not envy. And I thought, what? So I asked my friends, because there was about five of us that had ordered the same print, and I asked them, did you guys have a little piece of paper in your box? And they all looked, and they were like, yeah. And I said, what does your paper say? There it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envy. And I thought, oh, my gosh, mine says deal. How does mine say deal? So what we want to do is encourage you to get the rest of the story, read the book, but we want to encourage you to go ahead and take that scripture and put your husband's name where love is, mm-hmm. and begin to think on those things instead of the negativity. So until next week, everyone, have a great week, and we'll see you here next week. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Have a great week.